Hello, it's Vibe of 100 Monkeys Tubecast, episode number 3 now. Today I just wanted to talk a little bit about the perception of crypto in the UK. It kind of comes from an article my mother sent me recently. And the negativity in it is, I suppose, quite worrying in a way. Now, my mother, she's quite an activist in her time back in the day. She's quite proud of how she was part of the anti-apartheid protest, stopping the South African cricket team entering the UK back in the 60s, was it? Which you know, fair play to her. You know, proud of her for that. And, you know, she says the only one of her kids actually followed that ethos and stands up for, well, issues, I suppose, activist activities. She does worry about me getting arrested and how this might affect my job. But I mean, to be honest, I don't do a lot of protests now because I kind of believe that if you protest, it kind of gives the person you're protesting against authority in a way. But that's another Tubecast. I'll get to that. Back to my mother. So yeah, she's recently attended a number of anti-fracking protests, and to be sat outside in blocking a gate in the rain at 70, that's a good effort. So my point being, you know, she's aware of what's going on and the corruption in the world, but she is dead against crypto, or Bitcoin as she calls it, because she doesn't differentiate between the different ones. And she gives me the standard scare stories you get, you know, like it's used by the Russian mafia. And that doesn't bother me, really, because, you know, sure, they use fiat currency as well. And I'm sure all the mafias in the world use all sorts of currencies and ways to pay. But it's, well, that's kind of irrelevant, you know. It's probably, yeah. Apparently, it's dangerous. That's another one she often uses. Never quite explains in what way. Don't know where that one's come from. And also, it's like that if it collapses, I'll lose everything I've ever invested in it, and you know, everything will be a disaster. But everything you do in life's a gamble, really, isn't it? So you know, this is what we kind of we do every day, make gambles and decisions. But I mean, these things, you kind of think you always hear the same thing, and it's got to come from somewhere. You know, these stories. Which kind of brings me on to point. I get regular newspaper articles sent to me from her and things, and you know, I do read them. It's very interesting. You can see the kind of the bias and what you're dealing with and what arguments you're going to get thrown at you. Now she reads The Guardian, which is better than most, I have to say. But in my opinion, since the Snowden files were released by them, they were the first people to do it in the UK, and they consequently, I think. They had unreleased ones, so they wanted to, the government wanted them to hand over or something and not release, and they didn't. And they got their computers destroyed, basically. Yeah, and sort of ever since then, really, they've gone a bit soft. Okay, maybe that's a bit harsh, but they definitely appear to disagree less with the government in their articles, and their articles are generally a lot less controversial, in my opinion. Granted, they do have some, but I mean, we know my views on the British media. So let's jump into this article she sent me, the latest one my mother has, and it's quite against crypto, as you'll see. And I'll quote Norella Rubini, I think that's pronounced right, one of the few economists to predict the 2008 financial crash. Well, there's quite a few, in my opinion. Maybe they just weren't mainstream enough, but, you know, there we go. Anyway, and a former White House economic advisor is one of Bitcoin's most vocal critics. Perfect person for this article, then, eh? He has called it the mother of all bubbles and tweeted last month that it and other crypto copycats like Ethereum and Litecoin should be ranked in a 2018 shitcoin haul pile of manure shame, despite the cautionary warnings from the mainstream economists, as well as the finance industry labelling Bitcoin a vehicle for scammers, crooks and terrorists. There's still legions of cryptocurrency fans with the online cogiting industry of news websites, blogs and podcasts. And this is how the article starts. As you can see, it is not promoting crypto in any way, shape or form. And it's not even kind of laying out. It's just straight in there saying this is a pile of shit, basically. And this is what the average Joe reads. And I know The Guardian isn't the most popular paper in the UK, but it is one of them. So you kind of catch my gist, really. It's like, if everyone's reading this, no wonder there's so many people against crypto. But this is what we're dealing with, folks. This is, you know, what we need to prepare arguments against, I suppose. And to give them some credit, they do go on right near the end of the article to say, where is it? The message from its creator, an unknown group of people going by the name of Satoshi Nakamoto, was clear. Bitcoin would exist outside a system that had failed badly and could no longer be trusted. Right. The idea came straight from the Austrian School of Economics with a pinch of left-wing anarchism thrown in for good measure, offering individual liberty and a way to avoid the grasp of the government while sidestepping corporate power of the banking system. Now, to me, that sounds perfect. And if I read that, I'd go off and find out about it. But I think the thing is, because it's been portrayed so negatively in the first few paragraphs before that, you know, it's just like, ooh, yeah, who's this, you know? And this is kind of what it goes. And then after this, interesting, it goes on to say how the UK government are looking for ways to make it safe, as it's like the Wild West out there in the crypto world. So, of course, you know, we all think, oh, our friendly government's going to come and take control of it, make it all safe for us. I mean, come on. Can I swear on this? I don't know. But anyway, moving on. And then it goes on to say the Bank of England want to make their own cryptocurrency and, you know, how wonderful this will be. Which it will just be a controlled version of, yeah. But the sad thing is, the sheeple will lap this up. They'll, you know, they'll see the government's safety kind of whatever that is thing wrapped up in this potentially good idea, and yeah, just all be ruined. And then to finish, they kind of go on. They say the Winklevoss twins, who have invested significant sums in Bitcoin, argue it could end up matching gold in value, meaning the price above 320,000 and a total market capitalization of at least $4 trillion. And I just want to point out here, actually, these Winklevoss twins, they don't have any credentials in this article written after them. And you see the people who make negative comments about it have all got this, you know, he's the ex-White House advisor, you know, this. And yeah, it's just worth observing that. Very clever, the media, and how they make us perceive things. And I may as well just finish the last bit. So they go on to say, there are still those like Rubini who believe Bitcoin could, should, and be entirely wiped out, or Tenius Bronson of the Dutch bank ING, see again he's criticising it, so he's got credentials, reckons it would just disappear into relative obscurity. This time last year I wrote a note saying Bitcoin would become a niche asset, he said. I'm happy to say I think this view has aged well. So, I mean, a bit of a tangent there, I wasn't going to agree quite that much, but you can see to the levels of negativity that have been pumped into the British public, and I'm sure other countries, but you know. And this is the contest we have. We've got to find ways to kind of break this very kind of intense negativity that's forced upon people that my mother reads, and she obviously sends them to me with concern, you know, parental concern. Because I mean, if you read something like that and you knew your son was kind of doing it, you'd be thinking, oh my god, he's going to get wrapped up in some terrorist shit. And you know, it is understandable. So how do you reply to it? And this is a big question. I mean, my reply is, mother often met with, oh, you need to read more, expand your knowledge, which to me is a contradiction in itself, because when I say read articles about Bitcoin, she won't. Anyway, going back to how do I reply to it, I often I try and point out the fact that, you know, if people start using cryptocurrencies and everything, then it can potentially bring down the banking system and make a freer world. And she kind of agrees with the the corruption of the bank. But for some reason, that doesn't sink in. So I say, you know, if we can take away the control of the banks and government, then surely things will be better. I said, oh, yes, yes, but, you know, these newspaper articles are telling us it isn't a good thing. But you point out who's funding these newspaper articles. It is, you know, who's influencing the media. And it is the government and the banks who obviously don't want this to work. And you can see this conversation just goes round and round and often gets repeated. It just doesn't seem to go in. And she tells me to read more in the papers and, you know, proper news, it's called, I think. And, you know, I do browse the papers. I just don't like to read them too much. I don't like to absorb too much of that negativity. You know, we're going into that jibcast about the media again, aren't we? Yeah, that will come. That'll be a long-vented one, I think. But anyway, back to the point of my mother. You know, just... She won't read articles or information I point her towards for crypto information. She puts the YouTube ones down as junk, and the ones I write, because they're not mainstream media, she says, oh, anyone can write an article. You've got to be careful of the credentials. And we're going back to the credentials I mentioned in this article. So, yeah, but I mean, I point out, anyone can get paid larger sums of money to write stuff, yeah. But if you get, you know, if you get funded by the banks to write it, the people who want to stop it, then, you know, you can do well and you can get credentials. So this is an all too common problem, my friends. And I'm sure you're all fairly familiar with it too. And when I start talking to my friends and colleagues about crypto, they just kind of shut off or are going to, oh, that dodgy stuff again. And I do feel there's a very negative view of crypto currently in the UK, and this needs to change. And 2019 is the year we're going to change it, guys. So, you know, we need to work out some ways to do it. And I do try, and, you know, after a while, people do start to listen, you know, and they start to want to know a little bit more about it. And, you know, at work, people say, oh, you know, Go and talk to Vibe. He's the guy. He's the guy you can talk about cryptos to. And that does come with an attachment of me being a bit odd, but it don't bother me. In fact, I quite like it. You know, I'd rather be that than be a sheeple. But I mean, is it also like in your countries? I mean, is it as negative as the UK? Because I perceive that other countries are a lot more kind of accepting and kind of more advanced in the world of crypto than UK. I might be wrong, you know. Stick some comments in, you know. Tell, am I right? Am I wrong? You know. And how? If so, how's it been promoted over there? How can we do it in the UK? So, what are the solutions, really? I mean, we need to come together as a platform, as a group of people, to try and raise the awareness, I suppose. And I was going to try and do a conference. I think some of my posts, you would have seen that. And it's a lot of work on top of what I was doing, and to do it on my own, it didn't really pull off. And, you know, there were speakers that were willing to come over. So, you know, if that's people, you know, that's something to explore if people want to get on the board with that. And I think the main thing that I do is talking to people and planting a seed. And people who I talk to, they are starting to ask a bit more about it. And you choose how in-depth you go to, and, you know, you say the perks, and it's, yeah, that's the main way. But also is to start using it. And in the UK, it's not used. People do not use cryptos. I mean, there's a few places in the big cities that you can use it, but I've never seen any, to be completely honest. So we need to make that a change, I think. Now, obviously, a lot of people work for companies and, you know, aren't the boss, so they can't directly influence things like that. But plant the seed, you can suggest it, you know. It's got to start somewhere. And if you own your own business, well, why aren't you using Bitcoin? That's the question I ask you. If people can't see an alternative, they're never going to change that alternative, and they're never going to move away from the norm because they can't see any other option working. So we need to show people that this option can work and does work. And, you know, if there was the option, then I would buy stuff in crypto, but I don't have the options. There is the worrying, well, the worry that some people sort of see the fluctuating price. It is calmer now, I think. Yeah, and it's, I mean, the fiat currency fluctuates. We're not kind of aware of it because we're not told about it as much. I mean, obviously at the minute, you know, everything's bouncing around all over the place. But I mean, still a lot of people don't pay attention to that and they don't kind of register it. But obviously because crypto's, you know, got so much publicity for dropping by thousands and thousands since the other year. This is the thing that sticks in people's minds because it's pushed. So how do we get people into it? I mean, the key is to talk about it and visit sites and direct people to stuff where they can get information. Me personally, I think it was 2015, stumbled across the Jeff Berwick video and then went off in, you know, a whole plethora of different directions and got into cryptos, bought a bit of Dash, I think, first, and then Bitcoin, and, you know, the rest is history. You know, I'm here on Steam it now, trying to promote it myself. And a lot of people, I think the problem is a lot of these information sites relate to the US economy and the US environment, which, yeah, I can understand. But I think the UK public and the British public just don't kind of connect with that, because it's natural human kind of nature, I suppose, that something is, it's like if I said to you, oh, I've got $10 out, what can you buy for that? I mean, I wouldn't have a clue. If you said to me, oh, I've got £10, I've got a perception of, you know, in my head of what I can buy, so it's a more realistic thing to me. I just think when it's people are talking in dollars and stuff, it's not realistic to, you know, the British public, because we don't have that perception of what it actually means, and it's not related to our environment. If you're talking about things in America, I mean, yeah, it's not related to us in the UK. I think this is a big problem about why, you know, these things aren't really taken off in the UK, because it's not connecting to us. And there are a few British sites. I mean, there's Monaco 64. He's very good. Talks about British economy, but not a lot about cryptos. But you know, we need more people to come out there. So if you know your stuff and you're good at talking, get on it. You know, make a little site, Jibcast or podcast, and you know, just get out there, talk to people. And I think hopefully if people see it from a perspective that's local to them, then you know, this will have revelations in how people perceive it and how they're learning about it. And also there's a CoinFest. It's quite small at the minute in the UK. So I was thinking, you should get a Steam group, all the Steamian UKs, UK Steamians even. Let's get together and make efforts on the 1st to 7th of April this year to get along and go and have a little listen to what they've got to say about cryptos. Now, I mean, I always find, based, you know, festivals or talks or stuff like this, there's always people already know about crypto, so we need to get the people who don't know about crypto along to these things and build the network, build the community, which needs promoting to the masses. You know, this is the key thing, and 2019 is the year to push it, I feel. Let's get crypto, you know, into UK once and for all. Let's get people talking about it and using it. Another option I thought of was actually to do like a mini music festival or music event, using Steam UK to promote it, build a Steam community, and open up to the average Joe. There have been talks about this with Pensive. I think he's also mentioned it. And it's a great opportunity, I think, to build a Steam market, you know, get the community going, and everyone loves a good music event, and we can get the Steamian artists along. There's some brilliant artists out there on the sound, British ones. So you know, we can make something of it. But anyway, I've kind of jibbed all over the place today. It's kind of all been around the same point, really, that there just isn't enough positive exposure to crypto in the UK, and this is what I need to give attention to, I think. And if everyone mentions it as much as they can and as possible, this will send ripples into universe, and it will create conversation, in turn give the opportunity for people to promote it, when, you know, people who know what they're talking about to promote it, and, you know, the people who don't, to direct to those people. So yeah, I think and just on the music event, just another idea that's coming to my head. If, you know, if you're having at least one big band that people know performing there, that's going to bring the kind of the average Joe, the sheeple, in. And yeah, something like make tickets cheap if you're paying in crypto. And again, it doesn't have to be a lot, but that'll create a kind of a conversation about it. And it's doing little things like that that, you know, make people, well, you know, these people are paying less because they're using crypto. How can I get involved in it? And, you know, it's just create little sparks in people's minds, so they have to kind of look at it and think about it, and exposure, isn't it? And this is what we need. So just to finish, I mean, many of you know I'm a Reiki healer, and I do healings for crypto donations or trade, you know. I know many of you aren't into distance healings, but I do offer those for crypto donations. So drop us a line if you're interested in something like that. We'll try and work something out. And lastly, this is the last thing. Don't forget the competition to win a $10 Steam dollars I'm running. Just produce a 10-second lively little theme beginning for my Jibcast. I've only had one entry so far, guys, so come on, let's get on it. Let's have something so we've got a little bit of competition going. So yeah, that's a wrap for today then. Next time, eh?